The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live in the Toronto GTA areas of Toronto, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email in studio101@yahoo.gmail.com. And now, right to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome everyone to this episode, I guess, or this evening, joining us for our Down the Garden Path show. Thank you once again for joining us and listening in. Every week, my vision and my goal for the show is to provide down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and all things landscaping. And that is the theme of tonight, to really talk about advice, ideas, answer any questions that come through. I've got a whole bunch of different topics that my current and existing clients and my friends and neighbors have been asking. So I've got a whole bunch here to talk about, some of the most common ones. So I have to say, despite the chilly temperatures
here in Southern Ontario,
Southern Ontario's, the garden design season has gotten off well. I've just been amazed at the reception once again of how happy the clients have been after really seeing the vision of a design and the impact that that has made when they're actually absolutely stymied and they see their backyard as small and as unproductive or, you know, not sure how they can change the space. And I guess I've been able to wow a few people in the last few weeks. So I presented a design earlier today. And once again, they had existing hardscaping that they really didn't want to change, but they just had a few things they wanted to add. And they really did not see how to do it. And so I brought them a couple of concepts and they were really, really, really happy. So
I hope you get those gigs.
Yeah. So it's just nice to, I say, you know, really all I'm doing is spending other people's money, really.
That's okay. That's your profession.
That's right. But it really helps. And I know even myself, I needed help for my own design in my front yard. Sometimes you are just too close to it, no matter how good you want might be at decorating inside your home or creative you are with different things. Sometimes you just need a little bit of help.
And, a different opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And seeing things through different eyes. So I think it's been great. I've got a full week this week of seeing more people. So it's definitely good. I know everybody is impatient, one with the weather, two with probably getting to see meeting me and with contractors. So there's always a bit of a lull. So I just wanted to hit off about that especially as the season starts. You know, the contractors are working on the jobs they have now. They fully know they need to kind of keep that pipeline going and they need to talk to the new customers that I'm feeding them and other people are feeding them. But it definitely takes time. So hang in there and be patient with us. You are definitely, especially that's a benefit of working with a designer. I know I was speaking to somebody on the phone and that they keep calling contractors, and the contractors keep either not showing up, or they show up, they take a look, and then they say they'll call back, or they'll come, you know, show up back up with a quote or send a quote, and they never do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing, you know, I think a benefit of, you know, I'm working with really good, reputable contractors. And I think once you have a designer involved, the contractor, you're a much more serious client. And so, I mean, sad to say, but there are more jobs out there than there are guys to actually, or days in the year to do it, right? They are fighting the weather. So they unfortunately can pick and choose which jobs and which jobs that they take. So it's a little tricky there for sure. So it's definitely design season is on. And design season's on. And one of my first big installs, I did the design last year. We installed the front yard last year in the fall and late fall, actually. And we are now so late in the fall, we weren't able to do the planting. So we did the front walkway and new front steps. And now we are doing the side and the backyard. Outdoor kitchen and all the planting.
Outdoor kitchen.
Yes.
Must be nice to have money.
Yes, yes. So that started today. They started the demolition today, and I'm looking forward to how that turns out.
Very nice.
As always, check out my Facebook page for my before and after photos. I love posting those and having everybody share the transformations of what's going on. So, Gary, what do you think the top questions are?
Well, I'll tell you what they are for me. Well, I did mention to you, I wanted to put some grass seed down on the lawn.
Yes.
And, of course, you've stressed, and rightly so, it's still too cold.
Yeah.
But the big time, I think the big thing of the year is, besides fertilization, is people see those patches in their lawn and they say, okay, it's time for me to redress that, perhaps with some nice topsoil or mix. And seed, because they want instant, you know, if it's not sod, but they want instant lawns.
Right.
Because now it's time, right? But yeah. I think that is the main concern to most people right now.
Yes.
Is can I do it and how to do it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, and I've been getting quite a few questions about growing grass in troubled areas, like under trees and shady spots. And some people asking me about that. So mid-May, you know, my notes and past writing has been, you know, mid-May, usually our temperatures, you know, are supposed to be 15, 16 degrees. They haven't been that. And really, it's not only the daytime temperature, it's the nighttime temperature.
That's important, right?
Yeah, that's important. And even for some of our plants, because I know people's, you know, let's say the shrubs and the trees are leafing out, but a lot of the perennials that are coming up from the ground, like the hostas, the coral bells, different things that are coming up from the ground, people are going, I think I've lost it, or I don't see anything, or I see very little. Ornamental grass is another one. It's just the nighttime temperatures have been so low that the ground is so cold, right? So that, you know, the leaves and the buds are getting at least that sunshine during the day that's helping them warm up and kind of pop. But in the evening, you know, our nighttime temperatures are so cold. So, and they're also, it's also too cold for the seed to germinate. So it just sits there. No, you can water it and you can baby it and you can, you know, fence off the area all you want. But it's just the seed is until it gets some warmth is not going to start growing, really.
And by the way, we're worldwide, folks. So you listening, we say 16 and 20 degrees, that's Celsius.
Right.
Of course, if you're in the Fahrenheit areas, which is most of the United States and some other countries, you have to, that's going to be in the 50s.
Okay.
Basically.
Thank you, Gary. You late can do that 50s. Conversion for me, late 50s.
Yeah. So it'd have to be in the 50s to germinate.
That's right. So it's not happening right now, for
no,
sure.
No, here, we're getting down really cold at night. Yep. Really, almost to frost a couple of times.
Yep, definitely. And we probably will still have some in the next couple weeks. So, and I know it's hard to say because I know there's other, we're zone 5B technically in this area, you know, zone 5 in the GTA and, you know, the pockets of A and pockets of B. But I know myself, I have friends in zone B that are in Ohio and their garden, even though they're the same zone, their gardens are still way ahead. So it's, you know, some of it's based on zone. Some of it is just the weather in your region, really.
That's right.
I know they've been getting a lot of rain and we haven't been getting, you know, we've had a bit of rain,
not
but we haven't had a ton.
No.
And so I thought somebody posted something really funny about, you know, how many days of rain and anyway, and things are growing. But
it's
the zone is important when you're planting things, but when things start to bloom and when they start to flower, all those things are variables from, you know, much more local.
Yeah. And again, just to stress the temperatures that you stated at the beginning here about growing grass.
Yes.
Well, we stated those are night temperatures. Now, remember, when I talk to my friends in Fahrenheit, we say 55, give or take around 58 to germinate. That's your night temperature. Mm-hmm. We know during the day it's going to get a lot warmer when the sun is out.
Yeah.
What's very important is the overnight temperature. If it gets much more below that, it's not going to germinate
properly.
Yeah,
because that's the soil temperature and the grass seed is sitting on that soil.
That's right.
Right? So it's definitely is time to, you know, to take a look and do some repairing of your lawns, but you still need to hold off a little bit longer for that, you know, to really start growing grass. And the other question becomes growing grass under trees, which is really challenging. And in many respects, honestly, it's an exercise in futility. So without seeing the space, you know, there's a couple of options. Is one is to actually give up, you know, if it's under a tree and let's say in the center of your front yard.
Yeah.
You know, then it, I kind of think, you know, let's go with a nice thick mulch bed
and putting
plants, and this actual design, I was mentioning earlier today where they didn't know what to do in their backyard, with their existing landscape. And in this case, they had two in either corner of their yard, two really, really mature, like 30-year-old blue spruces, and you know, underneath they couldn't grow anything, no matter what they did. So really, I just suggested that we mulch under it, nice thick layers of mulch right to the drip line. So if you're evergreen, you know, where the needles of the tree kind of come straight down to the ground. If it's a deciduous tree, then you've really got to look at where the branching habits are.
Yeah.
And look at where the branches reach and look at that line down. And that's technically the drip line. And that's where all the roots are to your tree.
Okay.
So that's why you can't grow grass. I mean, you're thinking the trunk is over here. Why can't I grow grass, you know, four feet away type of thing.
Yeah.
And really, those are all the little feeder roots that are sucking all the nutrients that you keep putting down. For the grass, they keep sucking it away.
Right.
So, and then placing some rocks or some kind of features just outside of that drip line. So, you know, the focus isn't necessarily the mulch. I really like the idea of, let's say, grouping, you know, some natural rocks, you know, at least 2 feet high type of thing, 2 feet wide, 2 feet high, that type of thing. And then you're away. You're still going to have a bit of roots, but you can plant maybe a hostas on either side or your favorite shade plant on either side of that rock so that you kind of have a bit of a feature that goes with the tree and takes your eye away from the base. But really trying to plant and create a garden underneath the tree is futile, as is in many cases growing grass.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a backyard, I know I've seen some really neat ideas on Pinterest of where people have literally put a deck, like a little platform
around the
base of the tree on the lawn, because you can't
I've
grow grass
that.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets muddy and blah, blah, blah. And so you could really, really use that space differently by doing something like that. So that's a little bit of thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
The other option to try, and we had her on the show last year, if you remember, Miriam Goldberger.
Sure, I do.
Yeah, talked about, she has the native plant farm, a native flower farm in Northern Ontario. And she also has developed a grass seed from native plants, from native seeds, that she's collected, and she's created something called Eco Lawn. And so much different type of root system in that grass seed, and much different application. You can't buy it in sod. You can only grow it in seed. And she found it initially in the forest, in the dense forest where there was no sun. So she's got lots of pictures on her website where they are growing grass in deeper shade. So that's, you know, that might be the place to start. So check out wildflowerfarm.com, that website, and the product is called Eco Lawn. It is sold in Southern Ontario at your reputable nurseries. It's a little higher priced than your typical grass seed, but it's, I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. It looks cool,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, definitely. And it can be left kind of mown or unmown mode. So that's kind of it's got a different look to it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting some feedback. So if any of our listeners have used it in the past or have experienced it, I'd really love to hear from you because I do promote it to a lot of my clients. But I do know it takes, especially if you're converting an existing lawn, it does take a few years to do. But so that's a lot about grass.
Wow!
All your questions answered.
And folks, we're talking about nature's grass.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, just right.
And fertilizing, you have to keep that in mind. You mean don't over fertilize? It's not good for anybody, and that just means you're just going to cut the grass more, right?
Oh, true.
So
you can overdo anything, especially when it comes to nitrogen and fertilizer, right?
Yeah, so for sure.
You got to watch it. Go by manufacturer's recommendations if you're putting it down yourself,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. And sometimes some of the causes of the funguses and the different issues that our lawns have are actually from the over-fertilizing. So that's something to really consider if you're doing it too much. And you might not see the damage now. You might see the damage next year.
Yeah.
So.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So.
There's a lot. I keep looking at the notes that you had prepped for your
lots
show.
Of things to talk about. Man, yeah, I know. Do you want to take? Should we take a commercial
break?
Sure,
if you want to do that now.
Are we done with grass? Unless
I think so. Because
somebody calls in or writes in about grass,
sure,
we'll come back to it.
And we'll when we come back. There's a lot of people that are going to talk about fungus patches on their lawn, this and that, right? We didn't really touch base on that.
No, I mean a lot of that. The answers to that were really the over-fertilizing.
Okay.
And the fixing it with the topsoil, top dresser, and grass seed. But we're still kind of too early for that. So,
it is, right?
Yeah. So it's, it depends on where you are, but definitely Southern Ontario, we're in a bit of a cold spell for the next few days.
Yeah.
Hopefully after the long weekend.
We can give advice on to how to make a snowman.
Yes. Did you see the snow yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
I was very depressed.
I know.
I had to go back on my meds after seeing that. No. All right.
All right. Well, we're going to take a pause there. You're listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. The winds of fortune
don't blow the same. Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way.
Hey, Sally, your garden is looking great today.
Thanks, Gary. Your lawn is looking a little bit dry.
Ah, that's okay. It's all going to change. Soon I'm going to plant a fruit tree in my yard. I'm thinking an apple tree or maybe peach.
That sounds great, but do you know what you're doing?
Well, fruit trees are easy. You just plant them, water them, and wait for the harvest, right?
Actually, that's not quite the case.
What?
Organic orchardists spend a lot of time protecting their fruit trees from pest and disease problems.
Really?
And in order to thrive, fruit trees need to be pruned every year.
I didn't know that.
I'll tell you what. Before you buy your tree, why don't you go to orchardpeople.com? You'll learn lots about growing fruit from the blog, and there's a fantastic monthly newsletter with seasonal tips and reminders.
Maybe I should check that out.
Yeah. Then if you really want to move ahead, you can sign up for orchardpeople.com's beginner fruit tree care course.
So maybe I should hold off on buying my tree today?
You got it. The more you know, the better your tree will grow. Sign up for a free membership to orchardpeople.com today.
The following program will make you want to grow things when the weather turns nicer and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly recommended. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Come on, get on board right now. Dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now back to more great advice with resident expert of reality radio, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path. Thanks for joining once again this evening. We're talking, so I'm looking at Twitter, I'm looking at Facebook, I've got email in front of me, Gary's got me a new monitor, and he won't let me watch the Jays game, so I'm looking right. for emails.
What time is
really
that? They started already,
they already
right?
started.
Sorry.
It's okay. So please, if you have any questions, please send them in. And I'd be happy to help. And before that, though, I do, like I said, I've got a whole list of questions that I'm always asked. And hydrangeas, which are one of my favorites, and I experiment with them a ton as well. So I tend to kind of speak from experience in that I'm always tweaking them and moving them around or trying new ones. So still have this froggy voice. But so I'm sure by now I think people have gotten out at least and done some deadheading of their hydrangeas. So I hope that's what they've done. So now is the time to just go ahead and deadhead for the most part. So if you have the biggest thing I'd like to express to listeners, and hopefully I'm not too late, but I think everybody's familiar with the Annabelle hydrangeas. They're the ones that grow in the shade. They're white. They definitely get bigger, you know, 4 feet, 5 feet tall. And they have that reputation of being really floppy and not being able to support themselves. Sometimes you see people actually put peony cages, you know, around them or different types of support. I know that's the case in my neighborhood. So really, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to Annabelle hydrangeas in that they, cutting them right back to the ground. So a lot of people, because they're so floppy and they've all fallen over, everybody wants to tidy them up. So everybody cuts them right to the ground. And they do regrow and they do flower on the new wood, that type of thing. But the problem is those new stems are so thin that once again, they can't support. I know it seems odd in nature, right, to grow and not be able to support yourself. But
yeah.
The blooms, the branches and that new growth is so thin and so young that it can't support the blooms. Therefore, you're repeating the cycle of floppiness. And some situations there, that's fine. And some people like that look. And in many situations, people don't. They want them to be kind of more upright. So the key is to, at this time of year, or really 2 weeks ago, just doing some deadheading and just snipping off the flower heads and leaving those thick stems to kind of continue to thick, to grow and thicken up so that they can support the blooms. And new, even though you didn't cut it back, new growth will come from those old stems and will bloom. So I just want to reassure our listeners about that, that is the case. So those are the Annabelle. Limelight are, you know, anything in the Pinaculata, they are hardier, not as floppy, much woodier stems, but can get out of control size-wise. And I know I had to cut mine back really hard this year, so I'm hoping that I didn't mess with them too much. But definitely that is the, you know, that's the case. The other macrophylla, a customer client and I were talking today about those, and they are the ones that are more colorful, so they're not white.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be pink, and sometimes you know you can read about how you can add acid to the the soil or aluminum sulfate to the soil to make them blue. Sorry, making it more alkaline makes them blue. Those ones can be tricky. I think the last few years with our late frosts, because they bloom on, they definitely bloom on the old wood. And the people leave the stems up and with the old wood and the new buds start. And then we get a late frost, you know, and then we're not seeing blooms until August. And we're seeing like a big green, if that, and we're seeing big green bushes. So they've been a bit of a disappointment lately. Yeah. So I've really been switching more to the different choices that the that whole other series, Limelight, Little Lime, Quick Fire, Little Lamb.
There's
a whole bunch of other dwarf, you know, ones that, because one of the advantages of the macrophylla, in addition to the color and the bright fuchsias and the bright purples and blues that you want, is that their size. They just stay about 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide. So, you know, I'm certainly still not seeing those fuchsias and those the options to change from pink to blue or from blue to pink in the panaculata options of hydrangeas, but they're certainly coming a long way. So the Little Lime, like I said, Little Lamb and Little Quick Fire are all seeing that about that 3 foot size. So they're nice choices. And I introduced both to my garden last year, both the quick. I've had the Little Lime for a while and I love it. You can even grow it in a container.
Oh,
wow. It looks really good. Yeah. And so, yeah.
And speaking of container, I know I'm looking down here at your notes and everything.
Oh, you're getting ahead of me, aren't you?
Yeah, so I won't bring that up yet.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, because I'm going to be doing the container veggies and fruits this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're going to try?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because on my old property in New York, I actually had a good-sized chunk of property.
Yeah.
And we actually, I had a garden. And because I worked my first job ever when I was in college, you know, going to school to become a firefighter. I worked on a farm for 4 years, and I absolutely loved it. And by all means, I do not have a farmer's green thumb, but I enjoyed it.
Yes.
But we just don't have the room here, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that this year, and it's still, because of this weather situation, still too early, correct?
Yeah, it's still too early.
Okay.
You're going to buy the plants?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so really, look, it's still too early. Again, that May 2-4, I mean, it seems silly that we all wait till that weekend.
Yeah.
But it seems safer. And I think you can start looking for plants and kind of keeping them in the garage, let's say. So that they're, you know, so it depends on where they are when you buy them. But most cases, the nurseries are kind of keeping them outside.
Okay.
And then with the threats of frost, then they're covering them.
Okay, they're covering them.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
For sure. Or they're bringing them into their greenhouses type of thing. So you can certainly start purchasing them in preparation for planting them.
Okay.
Yeah. And the key will be definitely large containers.
How large when you say that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking 20 inches.
Minimum,
would you
say?
Minimum about that.
That's width. What about depth? What about
height?
Same.
Yep. Same. They should be really good depth.
Good size.
For sure. And I know some of mine have split. I'm really bad about taking the soil. I can take the plant material, but the soil stays in there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of downsizing my vegetable attempts this year, just space-wise on our yard, in our backyard. But also, I think I've also been overcrowding the plants a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a large window box that I put 5 pepper plants in.
Yeah, yeah.
And 2 years in a row, they've not really done well.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to try 2 pepper plants and just see.
Give
you know,
it more
so
room.
Give it more room and see how it goes.
Now, regarding containers, planters, do you recommend, clay pots, of course, but they also now, everybody's coming out with plastic and glass type of big containers,
ceramic. Yeah.
Is there a difference if you go with clay pots, plastic or ceramic? Is there one better than the other?
As far as growing conditions, no.
No, okay.
How you care for them, yes.
Of course,
so,
right.
I mean, like I said, my plastic ones split. This is probably their third season outside,
okay.
And I think I lost 2 out of probably 8. And that's been my own fault. But whereas the ceramic ones and the clay ones, you could not leave them out for the winter. So that definitely means cleaning them out, emptying them of the soil, and bringing them in,
and
at
why
least
is
to
that?
The garage. Just because they're too porous.
Okay.
Yeah, so the freeze and thaw, just like it kills many of the plants. That's why we can't grow plants in containers over the winter.
Okay.
That's the same with our pots. So
the
fiberglass is another option. It's
lighter.
Mm-hmm. Usually more expensive, but definitely better. better than the plastic ones, for
now,
sure.
Now, I know this question, you know, you don't like to normally recommend people or favor people, but is there an area here in Southern Ontario, in the Toronto area, that sells a good size planter? Because I've been to some of the box stores and some of the even nurseries, and I don't see planters that are a good size. They're,
really?
Yeah. So, you know, is there a place that you can recommend?
Yeah.
You can say it
Air. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten mine from, for the most part, from Home Depot. I think
okay.
they just happen to be closer. So they tend to not have them. The trick is they actually have them more at the back because most people are not buying the wrong size. They're
right.
So the small pots are all up at the front.
Right.
And so you tend to have to kind of go searching for them. And in many cases, you know, they are there for sure, but they are kind of in the back and they're not on display because they are big.
Okay.
And really that's the size that you need, especially for vegetables.
24.
I mean, I don't have a measuring tape. I'm brutal.
But
like even the size, you know, Gary, you can see the table in front of me,
sure.
Right? Because you really need that to not only add potting soil, but you need to add a little bit of compost because we have to fertilize. Because it's in a container, it's not in the ground.
Right.
So we have to constantly kind of improve that soil in those containers.
Okay.
So you do.
The bigger the better.
Yeah, the bigger the better, for sure. Depending.
Okay.
And the roots of like a tomato, if you're thinking of tomato plants, pepper plants, they actually have a pretty good
root system. Yeah.
You know, they really do. So, and I do have someone here who's asked about herbs. Is it better to grow herbs in individual containers or in one large one?
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, if it's a big pot, I think herbs don't have quite the root system that the other vegetables have. And I've successfully grown 3 herbs in a pot.
Yeah.
And even on a window box or kind of on those half baskets on the wall, I've successfully grown a couple of herbs in that.
Cool.
So I think herbs are pretty good. They're not as, unless you're talking, you know, mint, which you definitely want to do in a container, not in the ground because it's so aggressive. Oregano is another one. So mint, oregano, you don't want to be putting those into your garden. You definitely want them in a container.
I'm taking notes, by the way.
Are you taking notes?
Yeah, I'm always taking notes.
And I find even my chives, I grow my chives in a container, and they overwinter in the container. So I was out a couple days ago, or actually a couple weeks ago, cutting some chives for some baked potatoes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so definitely. So as long as the container is big, and the good thing about that, because I think if you leave them in the smaller pots, they definitely dry out quicker.
Okay.
And so I think you risk losing the herbs because they do need a pretty, for the most part, all of them need to be not overwatered. That can sometimes be the thing that kills them.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely don't need to dry out. So, lots of sun. And, so I think you can get away with like 3 herb plants, to a large, container.
Okay.
Would
cool.
do great.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So I'm wondering if we have any other questions about hydrangeas. Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, the one reason if you like flowers to grow, because I know a lot of people tend to be gardeners that like perennial gardens and aren't really into shrubs. And I know I tend to focus a little bit more on shrubs. But if you are a gardener who likes cutting your own flowers and bringing them in the house, as I do, I have to say my hydrangea bushes not only keep my house full of flowers, but many of my friends, you know, they know to stop by, until the frost.
Let's put a stand outside your house.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mentioned that remember when I talked to Melanie, our forest farmer.
Yeah.
You know, they all know to, I've trained them, they all know to cut from the back and that type of thing. But it is nice to cut from your own garden. And sometimes people just think of the flowers not of the shrubs. So definitely having hydrangeas in the garden definitely help with that.
Very cool.
That is good.
And when you're out there with your vegetables and fruits in pots, what do you do to try to eliminate pests from eating them, rabbits, squirrels? Do you put anything over it? Like some people have said, they have a mesh you can buy, a very lightweight mesh you can just drape over, you know, these pots and plants. Do you recommend that, or what do you do? I mean, how do you keep pests out of them?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the fact that they're in a container, they're a little bit better off than the ones that are in the ground on a garden.
Okay.
But I do know that I think the squirrels come along and, you know, I do cherry tomatoes and they pick them off. They take one bite and then they drop it, you know.
Yeah.
So it is tricky because I think if you cover them, then you are, you know, you're limiting the sun or you're preventing air circulation, which is also important for the for the plants. So I think that's tricky. You know, the good old fashioned scarecrow is always an option, right?
Wow.
But
really?
I mean, I don't think there's much you can do about squirrels. And I think a lot of times the squirrels are just digging, trying to bury something else they found, right?
Yeah.
If they're in containers, then you don't really have the bunny issue. But I have to say that the client I was visiting today told me, now I don't know if this goes with our warning that we give, if I'm allowed to say the word piss off, Larry, or Gary.
Yes, you can.
So it's a, she was showing me, it's a piss off plant and it's an annual and it's full, and that's what it's called. And it's foliage is really, really smelly, like smelling, because they back onto the rouge.
Right.
So not only do they have a plethora of rabbits, but they actually get deer.
Right, right.
In their front yard, like literally deer walking down the street.
I had deer on my house too, my old house. Yeah.
So she was saying how much. Now I took a picture of the tag, so there was a botanical name. Not that I think I can successfully pronounce it, especially on air. I'll probably really embarrass myself.
That's cool though.
Plectranthus.
Okay.
Yeah. So dogs and cats and rabbits too, stay away if I plant piss off plant. For some reason not yet understood, they detest the odor of this plant. Plant 3 feet apart, not offensive to humans, and does not harm children or pets.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And they sell that here?
Yeah, they do. They do. So,
excuse me, I'm like a dozen piss-off plants.
Exactly. So Richter's, we'll give a shout-out to Richter's.
Yeah.
They are grown here in southern Ontario. And if anybody knows more about them, she said, you know, it's an annual. It was a distinctive leaf. It was, you know, it wasn't anything. It wouldn't really stand out.
Yeah.
And she said it does have like a nice subtle blue flower, you know, so it's not. So she said, you know, you don't really mind having it in the garden.
Sure.
But it has. She has a large perennial bed in the front yard and putting, she kind of staggers these all around the perimeter and it really does keep the deer out.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. So I'm sure there's no harm in putting it around your vegetables.
I would think. I think you have an email there.
Do I have an email? Oh, does a shade mix? Oh, hi, Joanne. Great show. A question about grass. Does a shade mix work well in shady areas? That depends.
Uh-oh.
You know, again, it depends on the mix and it depends on how shady, Katie. And I don't know if you caught me talking about the Eco Lawn. I think that's something to try, even though it is more expensive than your typical shade grasses. I think it depends. I'm not sure where you're emailing from, but it depends on the area and the quality of the grass seed. So high as possible. And what's causing the shade? Is it just the shady side of the house or are you under a big tree? That type of thing. So all of those are factors that kind of, for me, really affect how the grass grows. And I think that Eco Lawn, everything that I've read, and I haven't tried it myself. Everything I've read is a little bit different. And the fact that it's native and the way it grows, having deeper roots, deeper root system, that it's more successful. So,
very good.
But there is a difference, you know, don't put sun grass seed in the shade. If that's what you're asking, definitely, don't do that. So there is some, you know, method to the madness as far as what's in the blend for the shade grass seed. So you're going to be more successful there, but, you have to look at, you know, the options are, you know, the situation, is it shade of the trees, shaded by the fence, shaded by the garage, you know, sometimes your garage sticks out and shades the yard. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you very much for emailing it in.
Very nice.
So one thing I did want to talk about was euonymus. So many of our listeners have them because they were like a huge builder plant. So if your house was built in the last 25 years, I'm sure you have a euonymus And you do, Gary, in the front as well. You're looking at me, but you do.
It's green. What do I have?
It's a euonymus.
What is that?
It's a green and white leaf. And for the most part, it's a green and white leaf plant.
Okay.
And it's evergreen, so it doesn't lose its leaves in the winter.
Okay.
But
if you
they,
say so.
Yeah, yeah. But they definitely have a lifespan. And they start to look a little gnarly after a while.
All right.
And they are also prone to something called scale. So its scale is like a little insect that's on the inside of the stems and in of the leaves. And it's basically sucking the life out of the plant. So it's Ooh. Not something, you know, when an evergreen, when a cedar dies, right, after winter, it turns completely brown, you know, sheds its needles. A juniper does the same, you know, a lot of evergreens, even boxwood, right? They mm-hmm. turn, and you know for a fact that that plant is dead, right?
Yeah.
But euonymus, it's a little bit more of a slow kind of, you know, gradual thing. And you'll find that there's bare spots or all of a sudden it's losing, especially this time of year, you'll notice after the winter, it's lost a lot of leaves. But then you see a little bit of new growth and you think, oh, that's okay. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I leave it all.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I mean, you can look at the underside, look at some of the leaves. You can see like little spotted, mm-hmm. almost looks like rice, you know, the rice shape, you know, that's what the insect looks like. And okay. you won't see it moving or anything. It's definitely inside the plant. But so I just want our listeners to know it's okay. Dig it up. It's a $15 plant.
Oh.
I know. It's not expensive. It's okay to... Gary, where's the time going? Oh, my goodness. It's okay to take it out. So, and planting another one in the same spot is probably not a good idea. It is airborne. It does spread. And with our herbicide bans, there are no more chemicals that can kind of treat something that was like a systemic.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
right.
it goes inside the stem to kill the insects.
Right.
So that is something that I definitely wanted to talk about.
Very good. You got lots here.
Yeah, definitely. Now, because it's been cool, it's still a good time to divide our perennials. So early ones like hostas, irises, they're really, you know, they'll let you know when they need to be divided because they tend to kind of die out in the center. Irises tend to clump in the center. You see a lot of roots, but no flowers and no leaves in the center of the plant.
Yep.
So then that means it's time to kind of dig up that huge clump, break it up into four, and go from there. Same with ornamental grasses. With the exception of Carl Forrester, which is one of the earliest ones to kind of start growing, the rest are still pretty cool, like because of, the ground temperatures. They need some heat to get going. So before you dig them up and return them to the nursery, they're not dead. They're just a little late because of the soil temperatures. But if you see a little bits of green, I noticed I posted a picture last week or this week. I was out for a walk and the ornamental grass was, you know, peeking up from the soil in a circle, almost like a perfect circle, but nothing in the center.
Wow.
And that really just shows you that center has gotten too tight and too much growth, and that you just basically need to dig up that clump and divide it into four and plant one of them back in that spot and share some with friends. So now that is the benefit for the cooler spring. It gives us a little bit more time to do things like that in the dividing of perennials and sharing them, donating them to plant sales, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And not the invasive stuff for sure.
Hopefully not.
No. So I guess we have to stop for one more commercial break.
Yeah, let's
take a quick one. And we'll be back with a few more questions. And thank you for joining me on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Do you absolutely love authentic Jamaican food? How about a Jamaican all-you-can-eat buffet? Well, if you stated that you do, Yum Yum Jamaican Restaurant is for you. At Yum Yum Jamaican Restaurant, you can try our all-you-can-eat authentic luncheon buffet for just $12.99. Or how about our other delicious breakfast, lunch, or dinner specials? We are conveniently located in Toronto at 2450 Dufferin Street, and we offer takeout, catering, and delivery services. Call us at 416-913-1742 to find out about our daily specials, or visit our website at yumyumondufferin.ca. Yum Yum Jamaican Restaurant, Canada's only all-you-can-eat Jamaican buffet.
Put the special into your special event. With our finger on the pulse of today's event scene, we provide for all your entertainment needs. Amuse and amaze with look-alike performers, illusionists, and interactive entertainment. Fill the air with jazz, dance music, classic rock, Latin, and disco. Thrill your guests with tarot and psychic readings. And treat the kids with children's entertainers, face painting, inflatables, and more. When your reputation is on the stage, let our reputation for excellence earn you a standing ovation. For more information, visit aratoevents.com.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us by email, send us an email right now, in studio101 at gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. I wanted to thank Katie for sending in that question. And lots to talk about. Time has really flown. Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm still on page one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So I mentioned about don't dig up your ornamental grasses because you think that they're not, that they're dead and the nursery's going to return them.
Yeah.
And so please don't do that. Please be patient. Also, the hibiscus. There's a lot of perennials, Rose of Sharon, perennial hibiscus, butterfly bush. There tends to be that whole kind of class of late summer blooming flowers and shrubs that everybody is so impatient about in the spring. And it just pains me to be at the nursery and see everybody lined up to return and get their refund or their replacement on those plants when really you shouldn't see anything, including leaves, on those plants till mid-June. Especially Ooh. With our cool temperatures. Yeah. So it's really important that you plant those. I always suggest to people to plant them at the back of the garden, not right at the front, because then, you know, you spend your April, May, and June looking at a dead tree, right, with the Rose of Sharon or the hibiscus. So
yeah.
So they, you know, plant the right spot. It's all about the right plant, the right spot sometimes. So please be patient. And don't, you know, it's great that the nurseries have that money back guarantee available to you. But I think it's created a whole bunch of really impatient gardeners because everybody wants to dig up their plant and rush it back. So please keep in mind our temperatures, our soil temperatures, our nighttime temperatures, all not only grass seed, but also affects a lot of those perennials and small shrubs. So leave them alone. They will be fine. I mean, if they're dead mid-June, you still can return them then, right? There's no rush. The nursery's going to have lots of them. So please be patient.
That's right.
Yeah. What else do we want to talk about? So that's perennials.
What about core aeration?
Core aeration? Yes. You want to go back to grass. You really like your grass.
Because I'll tell you why. The people have been storming the neighborhoods.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people are saying, well, I know you stated on your show earlier that around April, whatever, the ground was still too wet, too muddy, too this, too that.
Yeah.
Too soft. And so a lot of those people said, I'm not going to get it done then. But now, middle of May, and even if we talk Southern Ontario where we are,
uh-huh.
Is this a good time? And if it is a good time, again, what does that do for your lawn?
It definitely, I think now is a good time. It's not too wet. So I think it is a good time to do it. And basically it is just, you know how when you look at your lawn, there's that layer of thatch, Gary, that's kind of under, and even though you rake it, there's all that thatch under there at the base of the roots of the grass and covering up the soil. So you can't even really fertilize because you can't get it to the roots. So core aeration. That's quite the word.
Is it aeration or aeration? Whatever. It's one
yeah,
of those two.
Yeah, one of those two. Really, it basically pulls up little pockets and little plugs in your lawn. So it looks terrible for a little bit.
Okay.
But basically, it's a good way to get some nutrients, some water, and really to improve that soil that will, over time, help you to have a better lawn.
And it is okay at this time of year
Yeah,
now.
This time of year, I think it's fine. I find they just come out, you know, in March at the first sunny weekend, right? Then
right.
they're out there.
Right.
And our grass isn't growing. At least now the grass is growing. So
right.
it's going to fill in those plugs quickly.
Right.
Right? You know, in March,
yeah.
those plugs just sit there looking
yeah, they
terrible.
Look like poopy.
I know, they do.
Yeah.
They do, so. And we're fertilizing, that type of thing. So now is a, and they're not, because those machines are quite heavy. So
mm-hmm.
my other issue with when they come out in early March and April are so the grass is still so soft, right?
Right
so
right.
to me, what they're trying to fix, they're also just chewing it up and compressing it more.
Right,
so
right, right.
So now I think May is a good time.
Okay.
For sure. So yeah, so I did it the last few years and I didn't do it this year. And I have to say our grass is doing pretty good. We've fertilized already and we've cut it twice. So, much to the chagrin of my boys.
Very nice.
Who've had to
I
cut
got a
the
question
grass.
Here for you. Someone
sure.
wrote in and said, I'm thinking of getting a garden plan done, but may only be in my current home for 5 years. Now, is that worth it?
Mm-hmm.
How would you answer that one?
Yeah.
That's almost like home staging because... You know, what I mean by that, not like something phony,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, home stagers, they do that when they're trying to sell their house.
Mm-hmm.
But something of this nature is only going to improve the property and it's going to make that property go up in value. So perhaps you can get more money for your mm-hmm. home than you would have by not doing that. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a little biased as a landscape designer, of course, I'm going to say. And actually, this falls into the category of the clients I was seeing today. And that they had existing landscaping done. It was a little bit dated, but in fabulous shape. They took fabulous care of it. So everything was still level.
Yeah.
So they wanted to be able to, and they are only going to be there a few years. So they're also the ones with the blue spruces. You know, did the blue spruces need to come down? And,
yeah.
And I said, if you're not going to be here long, then no, let's leave those blue spruces alone and let's work on improving the yard around them. And so I have to say to our emailer in that I think it's a great idea. I think even if, let's say, you just tackle the front yard of the design, and so you've got you make sure that the entrance is nice and clear, there's no trip hazards, you've got a nice walkway, and the curb appeal is improved on your house, and that's definitely going to help with
Absolutely.
The resale for sure. And let's say it was a master plan and you got the front and the backyard done, then having that document and that design to show the purchaser that what you have done is also something, you know, it's a bonus for the to sell the house. And I've done it for real estate agents who sometimes they're trying to sell a home where the homeowners haven't done anything and don't
right.
intend to do anything. So they've called me in to do a plan on like a hypothetical, what new homeowners could do with this yard. And so they have it out and they actually put it in the marketing materials for the house when they're trying to sell it. So
yeah.
I think a landscape design plan is beneficial in whether you're there short term or long term. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a big plan. Maybe it's just a small front garden and it's just a hand drawing. And we just improve that small area and we kind of tackle those little areas that have been bugging you. And the other thing is sometimes people think they're only going to be there 5 years and then they're there 7 years or 8 years. And they realize, gosh, I wish I'd done this, you know, years
well,
ago.
Well, I would, you know. You know, that people say, too, and you're pulling up to a home, perhaps, that you want to buy. Forget about the selling part. You improved, right?
Yeah.
But someone pulling up to that home, the first thing, curb appeal, they're looking at is the home.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have looked at usually in the past, not recently, but when I purchase homes, is the landscape design. What's good, what's bad,
mm-hmm.
what may have to be, you know, replaced or fixed. And so I think it would definitely be anyone planning to sell their home in the near future and you're just not sure about how your yard looks, your driveway, your steps, everything. Excuse me. It would be a very good idea to get that taken care of. Not only would it give it appeal, but
mm-hmm.
you're going to get more money for your home.
Yeah, I think it's indicative of if people pull up and they see that the front yard has been really well taken care of, then I think they obviously already know that the inside of the house has been taken care of, you know? Whereas the backyard is a personal space and a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, once again, having the plan means that you end up not making the mistakes nor wasting money. That, you know, we just do what you need to get done, right? And not be frivolous about it. So that's why, you know, my little motto is always great landscapes start with a great plan.
That's right.
And again, they're all different types of plans. It doesn't have to be a really expensive computer generated master plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of times I get a lot of clients asking, well, I have a few things that I like to keep. Can you work around those and can you design around those? Absolutely.
Yep.
If they're worth keeping, I'll tell you that and we'll definitely keep them. And if they're not worth keeping, I will also tell you that and come up with something else.
Now,
so,
how do people get a hold of you?
Get a hold of me. Well, my best way is my website at downtoearth.ca with the number 2. You can reach me there. My email is there, as well as all my social media.
Beautiful.
From Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Beautiful.
All my blogs are up on Pinterest now, as well as you can find them on my my blogs, and the past radio shows are also on Pinterest, but also on my website.
Beautiful.
So if you've enjoyed this show and wanted to look back at some of the other people and other shows we've done, we've got some really good shows coming up for the rest of May. I'm really looking forward to that. Next week is going to be a encore presentation, Dr. Alan Armitage, my conversation.
Wow.
I remember my interview with him.
Yep.
And his book.
Yep.
And his plant app. So I'm hoping our listeners will enjoy that encore presentation. And then the week after that, we are talking roses. And she's a great speaker. And we may even need to do 2 shows.
What's her name?
You're going to put me on the spot.
But we're talking roses.
Yeah, we are. Her name is Colleen.
Okay.
Her name is Colleen.
Colleen
Rose?
No.
And I don't have it in front of me, but her name is Colleen. And
beautiful.
I chatted with her at the beginning of last week, actually. And really looking forward to having her on. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So thank you once again, everybody. I hope you enjoyed all these question and answers and gardening tips. Keep them coming. Thank you for joining me down the garden path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.